Hello, and welcome to As It Is Thursday, the program from the Learning English branch of the Voice of America, designed to help you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. It's June 2nd, 2016. Every day of the year, we bring you news from and about America and the world. We are a little different here at VOA Learning English because we exist to help you learn everyday American English. We speak a little slower than normal, and we use words that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are.
Almost 46 million people live in some form of forced labor or modern-day slavery, says an Australian research group. The term modern slavery may include debt bondage, forced marriage, and sexual exploitation. The researchers say India, China, and Pakistan have the largest number of people living in such conditions. The Walk Free Foundation released its latest Global Slavery Index earlier this week in London. The foundation wants governments and businesses to do more to stop systems of forced labor. The group studied forced labor in 167 countries. It found that the number of people living as modern slaves is 28% higher than previously believed. The new report said India also has more than 18 million modern-day slaves. That is much more than any other country. Kevin Bales is the lead author of the Global Slavery Index. He said India is working to end forced labor, but that is historically difficult.
They have hereditary forms of slavery in India. They've had a long, long history with rural forms of agricultural slavery. So, you know, it's something the Indians are working on very hard, but they've inherited a big problem from the past.
Andrew Forrest is the chairman of the Walk Free Foundation. He says forced labor means workers cannot leave their place of employment. He says their passports might be taken from them, or there might be a threat against them or their family members. Forrest says such workers cannot leave their situation and are treated, in his words, like a farm animal. The report says 58% of people living in modern slavery are in five Asian countries. In addition to India, China, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Uzbekistan have large numbers of people in forced labor conditions. In southern Pakistan, for example, men, women, and children work in brick factories, but they do not see wages for their hard work. One brickmaker described how he had to get a loan to feed his family. He said he believes he will never be able to repay his debt. In the brick factories, the employer keeps all the workers' earnings to secure their debt. The employer only provides the workers with food. The report says people across the world are trapped in similar situations. Wolfgang Büttner is with the group Human Rights Watch in Germany. He said, "Forced labor is a big problem worldwide. We have again and again documented migrant workers, in particular domestic workers, but also workers on construction sites who were being subjected to forced labor. And it is not only businesses. There are states that systematically impose forced labor, for example, North Korea and Uzbekistan, on its cotton fields," he said. The report said North Korea, Iran, Eritrea, Central African Republic, Democratic Republic of Congo, and South Sudan have taken little action to end slavery. It adds that North Korea has the highest percentage of modern slavery at over 4% of the population. Forced labor conditions are found not only in developing nations, but also in wealthy nations. However, the wealthy ones have lower percentages of modern slavery among workers. Activists are urging companies doing business in countries where forced labor is a problem to make sure their partners obey labor laws. However, the group said only a government campaign can make major improvements in working conditions. I'm Mario Ritter.
A Japanese boy remains missing 4 days after his parents abandoned him as a punishment, police said. Japan's military joined the search Wednesday for a 7-year-old boy missing in a forest in northern Japan. But on Wednesday night, Yamato Tanuka still had not been found. About 275 soldiers, police, and volunteers searched for him Wednesday. The boy had been missing since Saturday when his parents made him get out of their car to punish him for throwing rocks at cars and people, according to police. Kyoto News Service said police are looking into whether the parents should be charged with child abandonment. Child psychiatrists said even a threat of leaving a child behind is child abuse because of the stress it creates. Police said the boy's father, Takayuki Tanuka, returned to the area to look for his son a few minutes later, but could not find him. The child was left on a road by woods that are home to bears. He had no food or water, and there has been heavy rain. Temperatures at night have been in the mid-40s, according to news reports from Japan. Tanuka first told police his son disappeared while the family was picking vegetables. He later said that he and his wife had punished their son for bad behavior. Tanuka told news media he was embarrassed for leaving his child on the road for what he said was supposed to be a few minutes. "I regret what I did to my child," he said. The search for the 7-year-old boy was a major news story in Japan, with TV networks doing many live updates. Many people went on Twitter to criticize the parents. "What kind of parents would abandon a child in bear country?" wrote Helene Hamilton. "They should be charged, especially if he is hurt or killed." Judith Cohen is a doctor and professor of psychiatry at Drexel University College of Medicine in Pennsylvania. She said parents are expected to give children a basic sense of security and safety. When parents make that conditional on a child's good behavior, children lose their sense of safety and security, which is really a core need for children to grow up, Cohen said. Janet Rosenzweig, vice president for research at Prevent Child Abuse America, understands parents get uneasy when children do not behave. But I can't think of anything worse than abandoning a child in a strange and unknown place, Rosenzweig said. She said children suffer emotionally when they are abandoned or even warned that their parents might leave them behind. But the damage is more than emotional, she said. With modern science, we know that traumatic stress washes a kid's brain and blocks intellectual growth, Rosenzweig said. Cohen said the best way to discipline a child is to set limits and warn in advance about punishment for pushing limits. Let children know that TV or computer use will be removed if they do not behave. If parents want a child to leave a fun activity, such as swimming, they might warn that time in that activity is running out. For young children, it might be as simple as saying, "We have to leave in the time it takes to sing Happy Birthday," Cohen said. I'm Bruce Alpert.
Officials in Thailand found 40 dead tiger cubs at a Buddhist temple accused of animal abuse. The dead cubs were discovered Wednesday in a freezer at the temple west of Bangkok. Authorities found them while removing dozens of mostly full-grown live tigers from the temple grounds. Officials said the cubs appeared to be about a week old. It was not known why they were in the freezer, where temple staff kept food. Monks have been operating an unsanctioned zoo called Tiger Temple. Tourists paid money to view and take pictures with the tigers and other exotic animals. Wildlife groups say the animals were illegally bred and poorly treated. They also accuse the monks of making money by selling tiger parts used in traditional Chinese medicine. Thai authorities plan to file charges against the temple for illegally possessing endangered species. On its website, Tiger Temple said some tigers have to be tied up to protect visitors and other tigers because they sometimes wake in a restless state. People's safety has to be our main concern, it said. The monks recently sought permission from the government to operate a zoo, according to the Associated Press. But the request was denied because the temple did not have proper resources to deal with the animals. The monks resisted previous attempts to remove the tigers. But this time, officials got a court order and the temple complied. All of the temple's 137 tigers are being transferred to various shelters in Thailand. I'm Brian Lynn.
Switzerland has opened the world's longest and deepest railway tunnel, 17 years after starting work on the project. The Gotthard Railway Tunnel is 57 kilometers long. Trains passing through it will be about 2.3 kilometers underground at the deepest point. The tunnel cost $12 billion to build under the Alps of central Switzerland. The tunnel will reduce the time it takes trains to travel between northern and southern Europe. It is also expected to lower the number of vehicles on roads and move cargo between north and south. Many large trucks now carry goods through Europe. The trucks pollute the air. The two-way tunnel opens for commercial service in December. When that happens, up to 260 freight trains and 65 passenger trains will be able to pass through it every day. German Chancellor Angela Merkel, French President François Hollande, and Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi were at the opening ceremony on Wednesday. There were also musical bands and dancers. To celebrate the event, a special song was even written for the tunnel. The new tunnel will have an effect on Switzerland and the rest of Europe for years to come. Switzerland is not a member of the European Union, but some EU member countries have helped pay for, design, and build the tunnel. The tunnel is expected to help the EU railway network, especially traffic between Germany and Italy. The tunnel stretches from the German-speaking town of Erstfeld in the north to the Italian-speaking town of Botio in the south. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz.
A new study suggests a majority of U.S. citizens now get their news from social media websites. The Pew Research Center, an organization that researches social issues, surveyed 4,654 citizens in January and February. Pew researchers found 62% of the group got their news from social media websites like Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit. The new study shows Facebook to be the most popular social media website for news. More registered users of Reddit get their news from Reddit than registered users of Facebook do from Facebook. But the Pew Research shows that 44% of all U.S. adults get news from Facebook. Only 2% of all U.S. adults get news from Reddit, the study suggests. Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube also had high numbers of registered users getting news from these websites. But the number of people using more than one website to get news was fairly low. Just 26% said they use two websites to get news, and only 10% said they use three or more. A total of 64% of people said they only use one website to get news. Most commonly, that website is Facebook. Researchers also found news on each of the five most popular social media websites appeals to different types of people. People looking for news on Instagram are most likely to be young. Female social media users are most likely to seek news on Facebook. More people with some type of college degree look for news on LinkedIn. Information from a total of 9 social media websites was part of the study. This includes Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Reddit, LinkedIn, YouTube, Snapchat, and Vine. The number of visitors to all 9 websites grew from a similar study conducted by the Pew Research Center in 2013. Jeffrey Gottfried and Alyssa Shearer wrote the report for Pew. They say people who use social media for news still use traditional media like television and newspapers.
When life takes you away from home, take technology to help guide and entertain you. Apps can help make your trip easier and more fun. Travel apps are very helpful to guide you on your trip. Some apps help you plan your trip, and others help you travel. TripIt is a helpful app to organize travel plans. Sign up for a free account at the TripIt website and download the app to have all of your travel plans handy in one place. After signing up for an account, forward any email confirmations for your travels to plans@tripit.com. Send TripIt all confirmations for hotel, flight, train, theater, and other reservations. TripIt will create a travel itinerary that will be shown in the TripIt app on your phone. No need to hunt down emails when it is time to travel. Everything will be in one place on the TripIt app. There is a video that shows how TripIt works. TripIt is free, but a paid version is available that keeps track of loyalty programs, gives flight alerts, fare refund notifications, and more. When traveling outside your home country, you may need some language assistance. Google Translate is an app that can help you understand a language other than your native tongue. The Google Translate app translates between 103 different languages. Copy and paste text into the app to see a translation. You can also handwrite text onto the screen. Use your phone's camera to see a translation of signs. Point the lens at words to see the translation on the phone's screen. The app works even without an internet connection. Google Translate is available for free. OpenTable is a restaurant reservation app to help users discover and make reservations at restaurants. Search by location, cuisine, reviews, and prices. OpenTable includes 31,000 restaurants around the world. Check the app to see availability and make reservations within the app. Earn dining rewards by making your reservations through OpenTable and get a free meal. OpenTable is available free for Android and for iPhone and iPad. Part of the fun of traveling with a smartphone is taking and sharing photos. The Photor app lets you edit your photos and add filters for special effects. The app has been updated recently with new editing features so users can edit their photos more easily. Photor has added a slider to give users greater control of the edits. Editing effects can be saved as favorites to use them easily later. Waterlog is an app that edits photos to look like watercolor paintings. The app is best used on photos of places instead of people. It can make your photos look like works of art. Choose from 14 different filters to get different colors and effects. Waterlog is available for iPhone and iPad for under $4. Traveling often means you are offline and away from the internet. When camping in the wild, flying on a plane, sailing on a boat, or riding in the car, you may not have an internet connection. If you are traveling outside your home country and away from Wi-Fi, you should use apps offline to avoid large bills for using international data. Google Maps can be used even when no internet connection is available. Maps can be downloaded for times when you are away from the internet. Create your own Google Maps that you can use offline. Customize maps by including directions and points of interest. After creating a custom map, you can share it with others so they can see where you are going or join you on your trip. If you discover favorite restaurants, hotels, or museums, you can save them to your maps to revisit them later. To download Google Maps for offline use, open the app when you are connected to the internet. Search for the place you want Google Maps for, such as Washington, D.C. When the map appears in the app, touch the bottom bar with the name of the place. A page will appear with the option to download the map. Load your phone or tablet with ebooks before you leave home. Download ebooks over Wi-Fi so you can read them anywhere, even when you are not connected to the internet. Plenty of ebooks are available free, so you can fill your device before you leave home. Check out e-reader apps including Kindle for Android, Kindle for iPhone and iPad, Google Playbooks for Android, and Google Playbooks for iPhone and iPad, and iBooks for iPhone and iPad. I'm Katie Weaver.
If you'd like to hear the reports from today's program again, and read them as you listen to them, just go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. They're all there. You will be able to not only read and listen to today's stories, but those from previous As It Is programs. And you can download them for listening later. Also at our website, you will find podcasts, captioned videos, and lessons to test your English skills. Tomorrow on As It Is Friday, we will bring you Everyday Grammar, one of our most popular programs. And, of course, we will bring you our regular daily feast of stories from around the United States and the world. That's all tomorrow, so don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Send us an email. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com. We do read every message you send us. You can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, iTunes, Twitter, and on our YouTube channel, all at VOA Learning English. And be sure to listen to VOA World News at the beginning of every hour, Universal Time, every day of the year. Well, that's As It Is Thursday. We hope it has informed and entertained you, and has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, reporting from Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. Mario Ritter will be here tomorrow at this same time to help you learn everyday American English with As It Is Friday, the weekday Learning English broadcast, webcast, and podcast from the Voice of America.